thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy and your forgiveness and your passion and the privilege to praise you, to sing hallelujah unto you. Thank you for the word of the living God that has been given us from Genesis to the last book, Revelation. Father, I pray that as we get into the message this morning, we will truly understand what peace is. Peace that comes from you. Peace that no human being will ever know unless they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But there's more. It is a peace that you possess. It is a peace that you bestow. It is a peace that is conditional. We don't just automatically get it. Do we need it? Yes. Should I ask for it? Aye. Why do I need it? That it may attract the saved and the lost. I think the longer we live, Lord, the more we realize peace, your peace in us lived out, reveals your nature. And it is more valuable than any amount of money that will ever exist. What is money without peace? What is living without peace? I am so thankful that you took some time to explain your peace, a peace that passes all human understanding. Open our hearts and our minds, if you will. Holy Spirit, please be our teacher and give us the spiritual understanding that we need to spiritually function in your spiritual kingdom, that the saved and also the lost will be attracted to the peace that only comes from God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice the title, Wars, Rumors of Wars, and Commotions. Then there's a little subtitle there. No access, entrance denied. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. I want you to listen to what Paul was inspired to write. These words that we're about to read did not come naturally from him. They came supernaturally. So what you're about to read has come from the living God, so we might all want to pay attention to the subject that God is going to speak on. And here we go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul wrote, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of God, underline that phrase, peace of God, and put emphasis on the word of, O-F. The word O-F in the Greek language means source of. So when you talk about this peace in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, we're talking about a peace that God is the source of. Turn to page 3. If we're going to talk about peace, we need to understand what peace is, right? Okay, page 3. Usually I read this from a notebook, but I thought I better put this on paper that can be typed so you can look at this with your own eyes and have a better understanding of what peace is. Peace. This is peace God possesses. This is peace that God bestows on others. Is it a peace that comes automatically, the answer is no. Is it conditional? The answer to that, yes. Number one, all essential parts join together. This is peace. So what is peace? It is all the essential parts joined together. So what are the all essential parts joined together? Your feelings. Your feelings need to be given over to peace. Your desires need the peace of God. Your affections need the peace of God. Your passions need the peace of God. Your impulses need the peace of God. Your thinking needs the peace of God. And certainly your emotions need the peace of God to give you the spiritual stability that you and I need in this world as we function as believers in Jesus Christ. Look at number two. Peace is God's work from start to finish. Number three, peace operates where? Inside the believer. Peace operates in believers who live in faith. Did you notice that? Who live in faith? That is a conditional statement. Now, what is faith? Faith is divine persuasion. Faith is being persuaded by the Holy Spirit that is in you, for He is God, and He knows the will of God for your life. He knows the path that you need to take, the direction that you need to go in, and how you need to pray and seek the will of Almighty God. Number four, this peace is a developing peace. It develops by the believer receiving the written Word of God, which produces that divine persuasion, that trust, that confidence in the living God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. And this faith is joined to good works, what the Lord inspires and empowers. I'm learning something all the time. I'll never know it all. I'll never learn enough. But I want to learn something every day. And here's the question I ask myself, directed to Hainesville Baptist Church. Are we doing the work that God inspires? Or are we doing what we feel like we want to do here? There's a big difference. If we do what God inspires, then God is going to empower what God inspires. And the people that are looking at this church, they're looking at you and they're looking at me, they're going to see a supernatural work of God that is going to take place. And that's what people need to see when they look at the house of the living God. Not manpower, but supernatural power. To do what man cannot do. It develops by the believer receiving the written Word of God is an act of obedience, which produces faith, trusting, confidence, divine persuasion. And this faith is joined to good works, which the Lord inspires and the Lord empowers. Number five, you don't have it, but you're fixing to get it. Number five, God's peace is better than human reason. God's peace is better than human reason. Number six, God's grace is beyond human reason. God's grace and God's peace is beyond human reason. Number seven, the peace of God is not connected to circumstances. I am not a thermometer, I am a thermostat. There is a difference as a Christian. The thermostat controls the temperature. A thermometer is controlled by what is around it. If you live like a thermometer, God bless you. You're going to be up and down and unstable all your life. But if you live as a thermostat, you are going to be in control because you're living by a higher power. And that power is the what? It is the power of God. It is the power that is inside you as a child of the living God. Then there's number eight. The peace of God must be locked, securely to the person and work of Jesus Christ. I'll repeat that. The peace of God must be locked securely to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at that word peace. Number one under peace. Peace of mind means you are living by divine persuasion. You are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You're hearing your voice. Let me say this to you. There's one of two voices that are speaking to you all the time. Either the Holy Spirit's voice or Satan's voice is going to be speaking to you. You need to be sensitive to the Word of God so you can be sensitive to the voice of God. You are following divine wisdom. That's peace. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life worth living, and tranquility and prosperity, the wholeness of life's blessings, they will add to you. Happiness, pleasantness, and peace. Let me tell you something. If you don't have happiness, why? If you don't have pleasantness, why? If you don't have the peace of God, why? If God possesses this peace, then it is available to you. And you and I will stand at the judgment. And if you receive the peace of God, God bless you. But if you did not receive it, can't you hear God saying, why? I held it out to you. I possessed it. I was always ready to give it to you. But you never decided you wanted it. You thought your human reasoning and intellect was enough to give you peace in this life as a child of God. Let me tell you something. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to automatically, once again, get this peace. There is no excuse for a child of God to be bitter and unhappy and critical and judgmental. I think if I read this Bible correctly, God did not call you or me to be God or jury. And if that's the way you want to play it, walk out of here and go get somewhere else in another church. Happiness, pleasantness, and peace aren't guaranteed by products of financial success. But they are guaranteed to the person who does what? Here's the condition. Who lives by the Word of the living God. For the Word of God is wisdom. Last paragraph. This peace keeps minds from becoming hardened, blinded, outwitted by Satan, so that every thought remains captive to Christ. It keeps hearts from losing heart, so that they do not stray from pure and sincere devotion to Christ. I hope that'll help you with the meaning of peace. Let's go back to page one. Paul wrote, and the peace of God which passeth, underline the word passeth. When you look up the word passeth in the Greek, it means, and the peace of God which excels, in other words, is superior or better than another. This peace of God that comes from Him, that He bestows, is far superior than anything you can give yourself that will bring this kind of peace. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, underline the word understanding, it refers to the mind or the intellect. The mind or the intellect. And the peace of God which excels in superiority, better than any human being that will ever be born, which excels all minds or intellect that will ever exist, shall guard your hearts, underline the word hearts if you will, shall guard your feelings, your desires, once again, your affections, your passions, your impulses, and minds, your thinking, if you don't guard your thinking, Satan will make himself at home in your thought life. And as you think, that's how you will speak and that's how you will act. We'll guard your hearts and minds through or in Jesus Christ. Look at that word, I-N. In the Greek, I-N means intimate union. Now listen to this. All of God's benefits and blessings flow to fallen mankind. I want to say this. I stand up here as fallen mankind, glad I'm saved by the grace of Almighty God.
Amen.
Keep your hearts, or guard your hearts and your minds, your thinking, in Christ Jesus. Now that's something I didn't get quite through with. Here we go. The word in means intimate union. Intimate union. Are you in intimacy with Jesus Christ? How intimate is your relationship with Jesus Christ? All of God's benefits and blessings flow to fallen mankind. Listen to this. Through the life, through the teachings, through the death, through the resurrection, through the second coming, and personal union with Jesus Christ. Quite a list, isn't it? And the peace of God, which excels all minds or intellect, shall guard your hearts and your minds in or through Christ Jesus. So this verse promises that the peace of God will keep our hearts and minds if third class condition. If. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's up to you. Get this. If God says this is what you're supposed to do, then what is the Holy Spirit going to do in connection to the will of God? He's going to do what? He's going to give you spiritual desire to do what God's wanting you to do. Is that correct? And you're either going to say no or you're going to say yes. That's all the options that you have. There's no straddling the fence. If we will yield, in that blank, write the word yield. You're going to have to yield to it. Well, look at the word keep, number one. This is a Greek word that was specifically used to portray soldiers who stood at the gates of a city to determine who was allowed inside and who was forbidden access. Now, do you see how important peace is? This is precisely the word the Apostle Paul used in Philippians 4:7 to describe how the peace of God can keep our hearts and minds. God's peace, if, there's that little word, if we yield to it, that's your decision, that's your choice. We'll stand at the door of our hearts. Now, I gave you the definition of hearts, okay? So the peace of God can stand at the door of your feelings, at the door of your desires, at the door of your affections, at the door of your passions and your impulses and your emotions. It stands at the door. That's how important it is. God's peace, if we yield to it, will stand at the door of our hearts and our minds, our thinking, to block the entrance of fear, panic, and alarm if any of these toxic intruders tries to enter in. God's peace, here we go, if permitted. If permitted. Do you see what the Christian life? It is a life of choices to be made. The Christian life is a life of choices to be made. To do its job will prohibit fearful thoughts from entering our minds, upsetting our emotions, and causing us to turn aside from our steadied position of faith, peace, and rest. Question number one, does this mean that the peace of God is a guard at the gate of your heart? The answer is a big yes. When you're tempted to fear, underline the words tempted to fear, please. And I'm going to ask you a question that you should already know the answer. Did God give you the spirit of fear?
No.
The answer is no. So when you're tempted to fear, where does that come from?
Satan.
It's going to come from Satan, okay? Now, what needs to be used about this time? Peace. All right, we need to get that peace in operation. Here we go. when you're tempted to fear, and that comes from Satan, not God, because of something you've seen or heard, or because of nonstop information you've seen on television or read about on the internet, don't give way to those tormenting thoughts. Instead, let the peace of God guard your heart and mind by blocking the entrance of menacing thoughts. That's how powerful peace with God is. While it's healthy to be informed about what is happening, just don't listen to fake news. We can never let the information received through our senses determine whether or not we'll remain in a state of peace. There's a choice right there. There's a choice you have to make. We must allow the peace of God to do its job of guarding the entrance to our hearts. Now you should know what hearts refers to, and minds, the thinking, against all illegal entry. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, finally, believers, in Christ, whatever is true, underline the word true, whatever is of godly living, that's what true means, of godly living, whatever is honorable, honorable refers to dignity with attractiveness, dignity or honor with attractiveness toward both the saved and the unsaved. As a Christian, you should have such dignity and honor about you that it attracts the saved and the lost also. And that's how we are to live, with that kind of honor. And worthy of respect, whatever is right. Underline the word right. It means according to God's standard, which all human beings are judged. Whatever is right and confirmed by God's word. By God's word. You got to get in the word of God to know what he confirms. Whatever is pure, whatever is of moral purity and wholesome, whatever is lovely, whatever is pleasing and pleasant and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, praiseworthy or attractive. If there is any excellence, if there is, top of page 2, anything worthy of praise, think constantly or continually on these things, and add this note, if you will, underline these things that can shape your thinking and your living. These things that can shape your thinking and your living. And let me tell you something, if you think you can straddle the fence on this, there's always something in your brain that is shaping some kind of thinking and living. Always, there is no neutral. Think of these things. Number one, God is saying here, do not worry. Number two, don't be anxious about anything. Number three, do not focus your attention on, in thought, word, or deed, the chaos in the world. Have you been watching chaos on TV, on television? Boy, if they don't vote these Democratic governors out after this, I don't know. And policemen. Burned down a police station, not the police, but those rioting. And the governors stand there. Something needs to happen. It's time for our authorities to take charge. National Guard, police forces, the dogs, the tanks. I like what Giuliani did during his time of reign. You throw a rock, you break something, we're taking you in. You attempt to burn something or burn something, get it started, we're taking you in. You know what? If that would be done with force, it would stop this mess going on. Just had to get that out. Okay, I feel better. Back to the printout. Ephesians 2:14. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. Why did he have to bring it to you? Because you're not born with it. If you were born with it, he wouldn't have to bring it to you. Is that correct? So God possesses it and God bestows it. But it's conditional. If I permit it. If I want it. Do I desire to live by the Word of God, to have wisdom, and for God to give me this peace? The older I get, the older you get, how much does peace of mind cost and what is it worth? Read about some of the wealthiest men that had been born into this world and how they died. Not too pretty, most of them. All they had couldn't give them what only God can give. Amen. God's peace. Amen. So if you want me to live in peace when I retire, just get me a Krieghoff shotgun. I'll be fine. Here we go. He will keep us in perfect peace when we trust. Trust who? Go up to number two under question number two. Who is our peace? It is a person. Jesus Christ. It's not anything material. Our peace is a person. When you understand that, you'll quit busting your rear end to gather all you can in a materialistic way. He will keep us in perfect peace when we trust Him and fix our minds on Him. We must not be gripped with panic or alarm concerning the catastrophic events we're constantly hearing about in the news. Point. Remember that Jesus' purpose for telling us about all these things in advance, thank you, Jesus, was not to scare us. His intention was to prepare us for victorious living in these last days. When panic or fear tries to assault us, and believe me, if it hasn't, it's on its way. We have to let peace stand in front of our hearts and minds as a guard. And our mouths must declare in agreement, access denied. Baptist, did you get that? It's okay to speak the Word of God in a situation. I think Jesus did that, didn't he? Jesus spoke verbally out loud. He spoke the Word. I wonder why he did that. Because the Word of God has power. Because it's coming from God. And what God speaks will be accomplished. So Baptist, stand in front of the mirror when you get home and practice. You'll be okay. How many of you could say access denied? Satan, you're not coming in. You're not robbing me of my peace. You're not messing up my mind, my affections, my emotions, my feelings, my impulses. Matthew 24:6, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. End means immediate or imminent. Although these events seem horrific, they are not the final signals that the age will be ending immediately. Imminently. Jesus said there will be other signs to see as we near the ultimate conclusion of the church age. Let me tell you, folks, towards the end of the church age, it's going to get hairy. It's not going to be easy. If you're there, we're going to go through some things that are tough, demanding, extremely demonic. So you better learn to say, access denied. Satan. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of the living God. We thank you for the peace of God.